This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Dave's on his way back to the studio from being on location, and it is a beautiful day to live in the mid-Willamette Valley. Thanks for joining us for your lunch hour. Appreciate it. This is the place to be for local talk, local initiatives, ideas, individuals, and institutions we handle right here on KYKN for the Mid-Valley. With a strong focus on Salem and Kaiser, we want to talk about what affects your quality of life around here and what affects your pocketbook, what affects our ability to make a living and all that good stuff. Sometimes it's politics, folks. Sometimes it's economic news. Sometimes it's leadership. And sometimes it's just great people doing great things in the community. We have a guest in the studio today who is one of those people. So this is falls under the category of individuals and initiatives. Well, we got a couple of the eyes in here. I wanted to bring this to your attention because, you know, sometimes we have people doing great works in our community and we're not all aware, not only of the work that's being done, but the reason it's being done and the need in our community. And so we want to spotlight them a little bit. Later in the hour, we're going to hear from Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron and get their unique takes on what's going on in the world. How about that? And hopefully before the end of the hour, we'll also be talking about the governor and some of her veto action. So, first of all, Tim Davis, welcome to the studio.
Hey, thanks.
So, Tim is a founder. He's the man for Valor Mentoring, right? Yeah. Valor yep. Mentoring. So, how long has this organization been in place?
Well, it started from an idea 5 years ago, and we started under another nonprofit's umbrella, and now we're our own 501c3. So we've been our own 501c3s for about 3 years.
Give me a nutshell view of what Valor Mentoring is.
Yeah, we're focused on mentoring males, seventh grade to retirement. We do it through three pillars. We do it through one-on-one mentoring. We do it through music, media, and the arts, and we do it through service projects in the community.
Yeah. So really limited there, seventh grade to retirement.
Yeah, yeah, about 80-85% of those are middle school to young adult, but there are some people in their 40s and 50s that might be working through a significant job change, or you know, you run into a stubble, you need somebody to walk alongside you, so we're available for that too.
All right, yeah. So your group of mentors for a lot of youth and some adults and professionals, and what kind of life skills are you helping them with?
Yeah, so that's a pretty broad base. We have an onboarding process that asks, you know, the questions of the mentee as well as the mentor, and we have some software we've customized that helps to specialize the way we filter and match folks with each other. But that could be anything from just showing up to school on time and maybe making better decisions to working through college and marriage and those type of, you know, life skill things. So
how do people get introduced to Valor Mentoring?
Yeah, most of the mentees are referred from either the schools or churches and coaches, counselors in the area to us. Yeah.
Well, other than being on KYKN, how do you guys get the word out about, you know, what you're doing? You're taking young boys, boys and young men, right?
Yep.
And you're getting referrals from, you know, some very important pivotal people in their lives, if they're the coaches and teachers and schools and pastors potentially.
Right.
How do you get the word out?
Yeah, we have wonderful relationships and partnerships with Salem Kaiser Public Schools and the churches and the juvenile system and that. And partially because we have a board of directors and all of us have been in Salem Kaiser for 30 plus years. And so there's some relationships there. About half of us have been mentoring for more than 20 years just in the public school system on a natural way, not a formalized way. And that's kind of part of the story of why we ended up birthing this thing, you know, a few years back. So, I mean, maybe I could just tell you that. You know, I mean, it started with a conversation with two of my closest friends, Sven Anderson and Buddy Puckett. They're business guys in town. We'd been getting together for coffee for years and years and years. And we realized, you know, we're serving on the board of other wonderful nonprofits and from foster care to, you know, abuse and other things. But what we realized is a lot of those stories that were being told led back to where a guy was leading poorly or absent or abusive or whatever. And we thought, well, we're male and we've found some level of traction in marriage and parenting and community, and we already are mentoring. What if we could duplicate what we're doing to impact more people? And so we didn't set out to start a whole 501c3 and having now 3 or 4 employees and, you know, and a lot of things going on, but it's pretty exciting.
Tell us a little bit. I mean, it sounds, and this is a relatively short period of time. If this started with a conversation 5 years ago,
yeah,
and now you're growing to having programs and employees.
Yes.
How big is it spreading?
Yeah. So last year we did about 3,800 hours of mentoring. And each of those years since inception, we've doubled in size, both in mentoring and the mentees and the hours and that type of stuff. And so we do it, like I alluded to, we do it 3 different ways. The one-on-one mentoring, that's pretty easy to understand. I think most people get that. If it's a kid in a school, we usually go into the school and visiting with them. If it's a young adult in the coffee shop or whatever and walk alongside them. But something that makes us more unique, maybe than any other organization in the country, is our focus on music, media, and the arts. And some people don't, people are like, well, what does music and media have to do with mentoring? Well, we might wish that morality and these and the church and other things drove the culture, right, in America, but it doesn't. Music and media does. And so just like what you guys do quality media, right? And so we're in a place where we can teach young people how to produce quality media. If you're going to do video, if you're going to do recording, yeah, then you should do it well. And so we have a full-blown recording studio downtown where young people come. We had 30 young people in a sound engineering program that we have. It's a 200-hour thing that they can move through. Now, it's not an accredited thing, but they come out of there with skills to run a studio, right? And so along that, how are things at home? They're building, they're spending a lot of time together and building relationship and trust and impacting them. And so that if they want to record an album, if they want to do video production, they can learn how to do it well. And so, yeah, it's pretty exciting. We've got about 75 young people that come through our studio on a regular basis.
Really?
Yeah.
Just in this community.
Yeah. Wow. Writing, recording, and producing music. Yeah.
Wow. So, that is a cool program.
Yeah.
That's quite a footprint, right?
Yeah. Yeah, actually. It's very diverse culture and a passionate pool of people, but also have something to say and have, the, you know, medium is a powerful thing. And so, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys are out there. I'm a big believer that our children, male or female, they need to have other adults in their lives outside the family unit that they can trust and go to and mentor them. As that whole takes a village thing, I guess, is a trite, but to have other people that they can look to and learn from and rely upon in addition to whatever is happening or failing to happen at home.
Right. A mentor guarantees that there's somebody in a young person's life to champion them and to encourage them. 43% of every child in America is in a home without their father.
43%.
43%. Almost 50% of every child in America is in a home without their father. And so that's essentially why our organization exists. Now, we recognize that young women need mentoring, and that isn't lost on us. Some of that happens through the music studio because there's bands that are coming in, right? And that's not just males. But over time, as we've developed our systems and processes and follow-up and partnerships, we recognize that at some point we want to branch out and do something on the female side. But we started this originally with us having unique characteristics of male, and we want to get this system and the process refined so we continue to show up well, both in the juvenile system and the schools and all that, and branch out at some point later to those other things.
So. We're talking to Tim Davis. He's a founder of Valor Mentoring, and he's also a pastor at Church on the Hill. He's been there for over 10 years. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about where Valor Mentoring is going and how big can this grow and what their future plans are. Stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Brent DeHart here. Tim Davis is joining us. He's a founder of Valor Mentoring and is pastor at Church on the Hill. Valor Mentoring is mentoring males from seventh grade to retirement age, practically. He felt a need and felt a calling a few years back, and he had a couple of buddies launched this thing with an idea. And now we've got traction and momentum and a nonprofit organization. You were talking during the break. Give us your mission statement, Tim.
Yeah, so it's to inspire men to lead Christ-centered lives so that families, women, and children thrive. So it's actually a largely benefit of what we're doing is the family and women and children. When all of us are healthier, then so is the family unit and so is our community. So.
Do you feel a kinship with organizations like Promise Keepers?
Yeah, you know, that was I was a little newer in my faith when that was a bigger thing. But yeah, we do a lot of different events throughout the year. We're involved in three more events this fall, and if we had time, I'd tell you all about them.
So in the community, obviously you're right. Growing, you're getting more help, and there's more mentors.
Yes.
There's more need for more mentors.
Absolutely. The line is endless. As many mentors as we can bring on, there's mentees waiting to get plugged in to make it happen. Yeah.
Okay. So if we're speaking to somebody right now, how would they reach you?
Yeah. They could go to valormentoring.com and just, there's a button right on there that said, want to know more about mentoring. You could fill that out and somebody from our organization would follow up with you. It doesn't take a master's degree in mentoring. In fact, there isn't one, right? It just takes you being willing to spend maybe 45 minutes to an hour a week, which is what we typically require, try to be a weekly thing. You got 45 minutes to talk and listen to a young person.
So who in the community has your goal and your methods resonated with to jump on board and help you out?
Yeah, so... A lot of our mentors come from the church community. We found that they're more dedicated and patient and stick with it longer. And so that's a recruiting pool for us. But the Salem-Keizer Public Schools are where a lot of our mentoring happens. And then we partner with them on different events to do that. We have mentorships with the Marion County Juvenile System and the Star Court program. Mm-hmm. And so that's all exciting work to partner with. Yeah.
And you have a pretty robust board.
Yeah, we have eight guys that are sacrificially both giving of their time, their money, and their talents. We've got guys that are top executives with Nike and former executives with Boeing and Intel and lots of folks. We also have a 10 to 11 member advisory team that's made up of a whole bunch of different civic and community people, you know, to help move us forward and for us to continue to show up well and expand, you know.
So we were talking before, we used the word footprint. Obviously it's growing. You're saying it's doubling the amount of hours you're putting in, doubling the amount of kids or men that you're reaching. What are you going to do as far as a permanent home? What are your long-term plans?
Yeah, so that's a bit of a mystery, but we are really close to in the process of having a new home, and we've been grateful to have our partnership with the Presbyterian Church downtown, which is currently where our studios and offices are. We've grown that a while back, you know, and we're pretty excited that hopefully sometime around the first of the month we'll be able to announce a new home for us that'll be extremely significant footprint.
So the music program where people are locking in and spending time with their mentors and creating something and gaining some skills, that you've housed that inside the Presbyterian Church?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, and that's where all your equipment is and all that.
Yep.
It sounds fun.
$1,000 microphones and all kinds of cool stuff down there.
Fun. Yeah. Wow.
Might have to borrow those.
Yeah. Get some of those for KYK. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What about the service component? You mentioned there's three pillars. So you're using that music as a way to communicate and to educate and to connect, right? But there's also a service component. And is that a requirement for the mentees?
Yeah. Actually, so we take big service projects currently on a quarterly basis, and we'll take mentors and we'll take mentees and go tackle projects. So we've done we've been to Waldo Middle School. We've been to Houck Middle School and rebuilt their garden and helped repave their entryway and redo their library and paint it. You know, so you get 30, 40, 50 people tackling a project on an all day or a 2 day, you know, accomplishment. And it helps our mentors connect to our mentees. It also shows our mentees that you should be giving back to your community. You know, and so that's the reason we do it.
Let's talk a little bit about the focus on males. Right. So you obviously it's easier for us as men to connect to boys sometimes, right? To males and so forth. But how do you see that as as launching for a ripple effect that you mentioned early on in the segment about, this is about the families and the sisters and the wives as well.
Right. So if I just took my life experience briefly, and I'll give a really, really shotgun version of it. But, you know, my parents divorced when I was two. My mom was a very nurturing person to me, but remarried several times. I moved 21 times during my school years. And so I had really inconsistent male role models in my life. And if it wasn't for athletics, which I found a large amount of success in my life with in those eras, there were some coaches and other people that kind of saw me as a diamond in the rough, so to speak, and invested in me. Otherwise, I'd just be a statistic, you know? And so I naturally did that as an adult, and I became a father. And then now we have this opportunity to duplicate that process that it, just like it's affected me, it affects me. I have not arrived by any stretch, but I have two fabulous young adult children. I have the best marriage I know on the face of the earth. I've got the best job I know. And that doesn't come by accident, right? It comes by me being willing to hear other people's advice and to try to grow myself. And so I'm a better father and a better husband and a better community leader because people mentor me. They're still mentoring me. I mentor a dozen other people, but I also have 2 to 5 guys that are continuously speaking into my life to keep me straight and narrow and keep me growing.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to your friend and co-founder, if it will, Sven yep. Anderson, and he was reflecting on our obligation as men, obviously, and in our society, sometimes our failures as men.
Yes.
And that a lot of times when we're seeing women that are really in need of a counselor or a mentor or services, a lot of speak times because the men in their lives have failed them.
Right.
And it's kind of a call to look in the mirror. Hey, guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A call to us all and saying,
absolutely.
You know, there'll be a lot fewer problems with marriages and with young women and so forth if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, we're all short a couple tools in our tool belt, right? And that's really what mentoring can do. It can help come alongside because in my school age years, I didn't grow up knowing the fix it, right? My mom was in real estate and those type of things. So most of those things I learned was more from a business perspective or a real estate perspective as opposed to me knowing how to fix a sink or change a water cooler, you know, any of that stuff, or change my oil in my car type of thing. So, but there's also practical things like how to parent, how to love your wife, how to love your children, right? Mm-hmm. How to lead well. And those are all tools that we're not all born with, right?
Yeah.
So they got to come from somewhere.
Where do you see Valor Mentoring? And by the way, we're listening to Tim Davis here in the studio, founder of Valor Mentoring here in Salem. Where do you think it's going to be in 5 years and how are you going to get there?
Yeah, I'm probably going to scare some people, but I have some really, really, really big dreams. So my expectations are that we're going to acquire a new home for us in the next 30 days, and we're going to blow people away with some of the things we're about to do. But beyond that, we'd love to see that we get to 300, 400 mentoring relationships in the local area. And then I would like to see us expand to, you know, in every city that there's juvenile issues, in every city there's kids that need mentoring, there's also businesses and churches and civic leaders that would love to do something about it. And so if we can continue to refine the processes and the training and the follow-up, which is what makes us special, I think that there's been mentoring organizations come and go in the past, but I think they failed for a couple reasons. One would be training, and one would be the follow-up and nurturing and encouragement of a mentor, because it's not always easy to mentor, right?
Mm-hmm.
But and then we want to take our model, and I'd love to, what if we could be in every state in the United States, to be honest. If we had 350 people in Salem Kaiser and 350 people in every state in the United States, now we're at 18 or 20,000 young people being mentored on a weekly basis. So I may not live to see that happen, right? But I'm going to continue to leverage everything I got, every week I have left on this earth, to build a legacy and to build impact. And not for myself, not for my glory. I have no misconstrue that CNN and Fox News is going to come cover my funeral, right? I don't
But
really
they
care.
May cover your initiative as you launch into your 50th state.
Yeah, right. But it's enough just to impact Salem and Kaiser and the surrounding area, right? But we'll just see where it goes. Yeah.
Well, I like the big plans. I'm glad I asked that question.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a 5-year goal, is it?
No, that's probably not a 5-year goal.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you think the next step, because I don't want to diminish the role and the need in Salem Kaiser, Marion mm-hmm. County, Polk County, and so forth, and keep people on the right track.
Right.
Right? On the right track.
Yeah.
So we don't end up being people who are, like you said, statistics or stories of warning or homeless or in the juvenile or adult justice system or any of these right. things. Or just stray from the track. Certainly the need is here. So right. I don't want you to think too much about expanding out of the community.
Yeah.
But do you see this growing in Oregon before it expands to other states?
Absolutely. We I was just in a conversation with Woodburn civic leaders and the mayor and some other church folks just this week, and they'd been wanting for 2-3 years to help find a way to get mentoring off the ground, and they happened to hear about what we're doing, so I went up and spoke with them, and so we're in talks about how to expand into that, and maybe it's just one city at a time, 5 or 10 mentors at a time, right? And going up, we have a partnership with other organizations like Nike, and so at some point we'll go up into Beaverton and connect executives to high schoolers, and we got lots of conversations happening. So
this is Tim Davis, founder of Valor Mentoring and a pastor at Church on the Hill. You got 2 jobs.
Yes, I do. Yeah, so and they were 2 full-time jobs, right? But we could as a church leader, and I'm not the lead pastor. Bruce Stefanik is our lead pastor. I'm an associate there, and I oversee marriage and men's ministry stuff, and we're reducing my role some so that I can be more available to invest in the community, and I think that the church has a really important place in community, and I'm just more of a get in the dirt and get with people and help make it happen, and so it really feeds, I think, my gifting and passions.
All right, so somebody out there had said, hey, I could have used somebody holding on to my shoulder and somebody to be a near for me when I was growing up. I'm willing to do this as well. ValorMentoring.com, right?
Yep. Yeah, it'll be pretty self-explanatory, or you could email info@ValorMentoring.com and somebody would follow up with you. Again, it doesn't take much, 45 minutes once a week, maybe once every other week, if you can just listen to a young person and toss a couple of wisdom advices on occasion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you want to swing a hammer and help us impact the community through our service projects.
Wow. There's a lot of great volunteerism in Salem Kaiser, so we at KYKN like to spotlight it.
Absolutely.
Our community just does not go around. It just does not function without all the volunteerism we have in
That's
the area.
Right.
And I hope that a lot of people are being introduced to Valor Mentoring for the first time today. So it's VALOR, valormentoring.com. And yeah, plug yourself in. And hopefully we'll have Tim back after they have the big news and they find a new home and what we can do to help them launch that with their physical presence and have some stability and long-term growth plans and maybe raise some money for them.
Yeah.
Tim, thanks for being here today.
Really appreciate it.
And thanks for all the work you do in the community. Good luck to you. And I hope, don't stop dreaming big. That's what's going to make the whole world go around. And the need is certainly here in America. Thanks so much. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron on Always Once a Week. We hear their unique perspective on the world. I'm Brent DeHart, and I'm here with Dave Vaughn, and you're listening to 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is sponsored by Color Tile of Salem. Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Hey, this is Brent DeHart, and it's a fabulous day in the Mid-Willamette Valley. And, of course, we get a once-a-week now little chat with Sergeant Mike. If you are a regular listener to KYKN, you're familiar with Sergeant Mike and his cohort, his partner.
Partner.
Are we partners now?
We're partners.
Okay, we're partners.
Cowboy Ron. Welcome, gentlemen.
Yeah.
How are you? You guys always have a little bit of a unique take on how the world should be, don't you?
Well, I think it's... It's unique for Oregon, maybe, but it's not unique for the world. You know, I'm from Texas, and it's not unique. I'm kind of liberal for down there, but up here it's a little different. But Cowboy Ron wanted to talk about those cage-free eggs we're going to get. What do you think about those eggs?
Oh, my God. We got the cage-free eggs. The first question is, I wonder what Governor Kate Brown is possibly thinking about now. I believe that was an executive order. Is that executive order? Is that correct? And she put the diesel tax onto us. Yep. And she thinks she knows how to run a state. But I'm sorry to tell you, folks, we're in deep trouble.
Let me ask you something about those eggs. If they're cage-free eggs and it's an uncontrolled food source for the chickens and they're all this and that, how are we going to have some kind of standardization in the kind of chicken eggs we're going to buy at the store?
Well, that's a tough one, Sarge. My choice is to keep the roosters out of the pen. So, I mean, I've raised chickens for years, about two dozen at a time. A lot of fun, good family fun. But number one is you need to keep the roosters out. But what I'm more concerned about is the sanitation. And when I go to Life Source, which is one of the good stores we have here in town, the cage-free eggs, I prefer to buy Willamette Valley eggs because they're caged chickens. They're controlled what they eat. There's no roosters messing around with the eggs. And I think our quality is up. It's unfortunate that our dear governor, whomever supplied her the dollars to bring up this idea of cage-free eggs, has got probably a brain thought of about a minus seven.
Well, what does her order say?
It comes, starts 2023. The chickens, eggs that are sold and used in Oregon have to be cage-free, and I would think that it's going to open up the great chicken egg black market from other states. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that the chicken eggs are going to go to about $5 a dozen.
What do you think would happen if that happened to me and I was really a chicken egg lover? I'd get in my pickup and I'd drive up to Vancouver, Washington, and buy myself 40 or 50 dozen, bring them back here, pull my truck off to the side of the road and start selling them.
Well, no, White's Restaurant would probably do the same. They use thousands of eggs, and Rockin' Rogers, which is having its troubles, but they have good breakfast eggs, and the Original Pancake House, they'll probably just get a truck and go buy them somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Why wouldn't you? It's
well,
50
the cage,
miles.
Yeah, the cage-free eggs, you can't control how hard the shell is, if it's going to crack, if it's going to boil. And most of our restaurants, like the Original Pancake House, those eggs are perfect, but they're using the same egg, same quality of egg every day.
Yeah.
The cooks are going to go probably get double wages.
Oh, it'll be $30 an hour then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Get right up there and increase the minimum wage and really get those taxpayers supplying money for Oregon.
Cowboy Ron, you've been around a couple of years, and I mean, when you go out for breakfast, though, now, to get some bacon and eggs, it's more expensive than lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the deal with the cost of bacon and eggs, right?
Yeah, they've really gone
go out and
really
get it for a couple of bucks, right?
Yeah.
It's $9 or $10 for breakfast.
Yeah.
And we're paying more for help. The cost of everything in that restaurant has gone up, and you know, the person running it's got to make a profit or they can't be there.
Well, you know what we need to do is get the sweet lady that runs the Turnaround restaurant in Turner. Incredible, incredible restaurant.
Yes, it is.
But she could give you exactly that the food costs are jumping up. You know, they've got a ratio. It's about 35% for food costs in a restaurant. Now they have to plug in the labor. So
that's 10 or 12% more than it was, you know, percentage-wise. Than it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, and breakfast is supposed to be your profit one. That's, you know, that's a good profit restaurant item.
You ever been in the restaurant business?
Yes, I have.
Yeah?
Restaurant and bar business. And it's not fun.
No?
No.
You'd rather be in the gun business, you right?
Well, the gun business is
contracting
excellent.
Business.
Contracting's good. Helps stuff. But now, the biggest problem that all Oregonians have, we're having worldwide, is quality help. And the amount of labor it takes to supervise and manage our help has increased probably 25% in the last 20 years. It just takes more responsible people to create a criteria and make the employees follow it.
I've got a couple of customers that I work with frequently, and they're looking for good help. And here's what they say. I say, are they coming out of these schools or those schools? They said, Mike, if we see somebody that we target that is a premium guy and he's 22 years old and loves to work, he said, we hire him.
You have to go after him today.
And we train him.
Yep.
And so for the first 2 years, they cost us. But after that, we have a fun company, and these people want to stay, and we give them a premium price after a couple of years where they're making $35 an hour, and they don't want to go anywhere.
I think you're correct, Sarge. That's one of the main problems that we have in the retail, any business, is finding good help.
Yeah.
And it's getting harder and harder. I think the we've hit on this point a number of times. We have plenty of resources, physical resources, and kids getting out of high school, getting out of college. But for manual workers, we've got a whole workforce sitting on their butts in Salem, Oregon. And here we've got a problem with our farm workers jumping over the border, and everybody says we need them. Get your kid off the seat and say, off his butt in Salem, Oregon.
Yes,
go
sir.
To work.
You tell him.
Yeah.
It is an issue, and as Sergeant Mike was saying, I had this conversation about an hour ago in my office, actually, about, and it was a company that says, we'll hire them straight out of high school if we know that they have a work ethic. Mm-hmm. And we may start them pushing the broom, but we'll teach them how to work this piece of equipment and that piece of equipment and to build this and to run this and to do the, and, you know, to really good jobs.
Yeah.
But they're looking for somebody that has a work ethic. Somebody
that will
like,
sweat.
And logging is a big part of that in terms of will you drive the truck and will you work hard? Will you work hard all day, come back tomorrow?
We call that depth.
Depth.
We call that depth. No depth, no hire.
Right. You know, and you do. You go and you look at, and you know those, the kids is mom and dad or know of them or somebody knows them, and you can go back and find out, hey, kid's been a good guy.
You bet.
And
you
he
bet.
Works hard and he had a paper route or, you know, whatever. By the way, my first job, I mowed grass. I got $5 for it.
$5? Wow, you were expensive.
Well, I was 12 years old, and that was a lot of money, baby. And I always had some jingle in my pocket.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah.
Everybody worked.
Did you have
know, we are getting, I got to say this, we are getting, and I've learned this, a lot of those churches are church-body children. Kids know how to work.
Yeah, they do. I got another question I want to ask. It has to do with all the gun laws that are about to pop open. Now, you own Gun Crafters.
That's correct.
You and Doug, and you got that thing going over there. You think that Trump is going to sign off on this real quick? And how is that going to affect you in Salem, Oregon?
Well, there's a couple of things. My boy Trump said recently that, hold on, boys, we're going to wait till September. We're going to get together and we're going to come up with something. We saw our crazy Wyden, Representative Wyden, say, I got to create a gun law. Well, you're going to have to create a law, and we're going to get back to this, for alcohol, frying pans, knives, baseball bats, whips, any piece of iron or pipe. You're going to have to outlaw everything, Mr. Wyden. Okay, here's what needs to be done. Trump's going to come back in September. I believe you're going to see a national background check. And right now, Oregon, and I think Oregon created a good law with the 941 background check. It stops the garage sales. It stops all the felons and the people that can't pass a background check from buying guns on the street. Now, it's against the law. They're still doing it. But it takes Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, where all these guys are going to gun shows and trading guns. Our Oregon people are going over there to trade guns, no paperwork, getting the cash and running. They don't care. I think it's a good, responsible thing to have background checks. But then the background checks should continue on to other things. Alcohol. The state of Oregon is in the alcohol business.
They get a big chunk of that.
Okay, so if you've had a DUI and you're a confirmed alcoholic, do you need to buy a gallon of whiskey at a liquor store? You should be in a database that you are. You have a DUI. You shouldn't be allowed to buy booze.
Well, we're going to get off on a whole other tangent there. But
oh, my God. Get me going.
That might be next week's perspective.
But but how is that going to affect a business in Salem, Oregon, when these laws that are on the books are really going to be enacted?
Okay, it's going to help us. because it's going to give us more transfers to do, and people will come to us, a licensed firearm business, and there's a number of them in Salem, but it will give us more business, and it gives the federal and state, the state has control, but it gives the federal, the whole thing, a better control. But it's going to create more work for us because people won't be able to dispose of their firearm collection and stuff in a non-registered background situation.
So they'll have to sell it to a qualified person or gun store like
yours. We will get busier.
Okay.
Yeah. So things are interesting stuff. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you coming in. Yeah, it happens just like that. Your allotted time is over.
That's it.
You can go back to making the world a better place. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Boyne. We want to thank Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron for their perspective on the world. We got a few more news items coming up. Everything from the governor backing off on one of her potential vetoes to naked women swimming in the Willamette. So stick with us after the break. This, you listen to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. And yes, I'm in the studio. Been here for quite a while. I didn't want to really interrupt in the conversation you had earlier with the Valor Mentoring. Very interesting, especially knowing now that 43% of kids, seventh grade, older, don't have a father figure in their life.
Yeah, that's, or in the home.
Or in the home. That's not good.
It has to either be an absent father or a divorce situation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a shocking statistic.
It is.
It's always nice to see, though, people stepping out and saying, I don't know this human being, but I'm going to take part of my life and help them.
Because it makes all of us better.
It makes all of it. It makes the whole community better.
Yeah, it makes the whole community better.
And maybe the young person that's getting the mentoring does the same. And so if you can make this
thing roll.
Yeah, for
maybe a younger sibling, you know?
Right. Or the next generation, or somebody that's
just a ripple effect. It's called that ripple effect you were talking about.
Pay it forward.
Right.
Thing. But it just inspired. It's like, oh, now there's enormous, I mean, how many hours of mentoring did they say they did? Like 3,800 hours last year. And the number of kids, they got 75 local kids coming through that music studio. They have a regular place to go and camaraderie and a sense of belonging. You know why people, you know.
I should call
sometimes
him.
They stray into gangs or go into ill-advised activities or make poor choices is the way to say
poor
it.
Poor choices.
Well, they don't belong to something.
Right.
It gives them a sense of purpose. And congrats to Valor Mentoring for providing that and being inspired to do it. And frankly, the entire community benefits when somebody goes out and just helps that one individual.
Right. Well, maybe I should give them a call and have them send a couple of those music students back over here so I could teach them how to
run
the other side.
Run these boards, right?
Run the board and run the station and do production and make commercials. And you know what? Make them a star.
And also in our community, we have people doing this. Obviously, we've talked to them on Newsmakers, how CASA helps kids with the legal part of representing them and their needs and having someone walk along with them all times. We've got people working in recidivism, lowering recidivism as they come out of imprisonment.
Right.
They come in out of corrections and that re-entry program, right? And, of course, the good work done with the United Gospel Mission we've talked about in the past as well, where they have a whole program that goes from, let's make sure you're fed and clothed, and then, hey, by the way, do you want a job training and do you want an education and do you want a job and do you want housing and a whole program of those things and just walk beside people they do not know.
Yep.
That is awesome. Good stuff. Hey, in a few minutes we have left, I want to circle back around from Tuesday's show. We were talking about the governor and some of her veto actions, threats, potential.
Yes.
And specifically on the city of Newport, and there were some plans there for doing some dam work.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I found that concerning.
Right.
We ran out a little bit of time on Tuesday, but the things that's really struck me about the article, Timothy Gross, he's a public works director out there, is that he'd spent 9 years trying to line up the funding. I mean, this is identified as a need almost a decade ago, and he's out there and he's fighting, or probably longer ago than that, but he's politically been fighting for some funding to help with these dams in Newport. And it's more than a city of Newport could handle at $60 to $75 million, right? And then the governor's like, well, you know, let's back up. And why don't we list all of the projects, and then we're going to prioritize them, and then we're going to just do a systematic funding mechanism, and then we're going to bubble. Take action.
Right.
Right? I'm not against you, a pragmatic approach, a practical approach, an organized approach, instead of just a strictly political approach on what projects get done and what infrastructure gets done in Oregon. But come on. I mean, the other thing about this, according to Public Works Director Timothy Gross, again, from Newport, is that there were federal matching dollars in this, too. And they got to rely upon the state dollars to get the federal matching dollars. So right. They're leveraging the money. And he's been on an education and put me on a priority list for 9 years. And the governor's like, and then how does that not look like it's politically motivated?
Right. Spend 9 years on that. I think all the studies have been done.
Yeah.
He probably did it on his own time.
So I just kept flashing back to New Orleans and the levees failing. And how much we learned later about maintenance wasn't done. It wasn't prioritized. They fought for struggling. They struggled for funding, and they just didn't get the money. And who was responsible to
the
do this?
The gates fail.
And now Newport's saying, hey, this is our situation. A couple of quotes from Timothy Gross. If they fail before we fix them, our community's gone.
Yikes.
Period.
Yikes.
Yeah. He's using $4 million that they're trying to get from $4 million from allocation from the state
right.
to get matching federal dollars. So he loses twice as much money, right? 381 million gallons of water.
That'll wipe out a town.
That is all connected to, hey, what's the question? Is she doing political revenge against people that didn't support cap and trade? Is she prioritizing urban over rural, which we talked about on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So, who's Gomberg? Quote is, I think governor's above that kind of retribution. Next paragraph, the news story out of the Salem Reporter. Brown was not above that kind of retribution in 2017 when she vetoed $4 million of funding projects for former Republican Representative Sal Esquivel's Southern Oregon District after he broke a political deal with her. Brown at the time acknowledged her act was political revenge. So now, in addition to not having any leadership and failing the foster kids and so on and so forth, she's petty. She wants to throw petty in there to begin with. It's like, why don't you spend less time
being petty
and
making your
people
job.
Pay who don't agree with you and be a leader. One more thing, Costco. So as expected, Land Use Board of Appeals, affectionately known as LUBA, and it's a little incomplete. The picture's a little, but they're sending it back to the Salem City Council to relook at it.
Yeah, good.
I wish they just had remanded it and said, no, you got it wrong, and here's the right answer.
But, right.
Yeah, there'll be more news on this as it starts to filter out and settle in. But it's going to go back to the City Council, and they're going to be forced to make a decision based on the criteria.
So now you're going to be talking about the naked woman in the Willamette?
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Goddesses.
Tomorrow.
The goddesses.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow we'll talk about that. Thanks for joining us, newsmakers. I'm Brent DeHart and Dave Boyd.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.